be with us this morning, Lord. I ask your Holy Spirit to surround us right now through as we come into your word, Lord, and worship and pray before you, Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and ask that you'll be with us this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as you'd all know, during this Lent period, we've been going through the book of Matthew and the Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're going to start with a short video on today's passage from Matthew, which is taken from Matthew chapter 19.
When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no one separate.'" "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it." Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peter answered him, We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers or sisters, or father or mother, or wife or children, or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first.
Okay, our second passage this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to that. I'll be reading the passage from the English Standard Version. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a devotion from the One app, so if you have the One app, you can open up to that, and I'll read that for us. Have you ever known that there is something good that you needed to do, but you kept putting it off? Paul presses in on the urgency of needing to walk, not as unwise, but as wise. The urgency he refers to is because of evil's pervasiveness. It is urgent because evil is pervasive, and we must always be alert to keep our standards high as we aim to imitate Christ in everything that we say and do. Our goal is that when others see our good works, they will give glory to our Father in heaven. I think in today's, when we look at the passage from Matthew this morning, we see this wonderful image of Jesus welcoming children to him. And he says, to such belong the kingdom of heaven. In the previous chapter, chapter 18, verse 2 to 4, Jesus says, Unless we become like children, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think one of the traits of children that Jesus is pointing us to is the condition of their heart. Children have a soft heart. And by soft heart, I mean there's two elements to it, I think. One is preparedness, a readiness to forgive, and a purity. When you look at small children in particular, I think as they get older, it's a bit different, but small children have this wonderful ability to forgive and a wonderful innocence and purity about them. I think we can all look back into our own childhood when we're growing up and how life was felt simpler in those times. I grew up in Australia in suburbia, and one of my happiest memories is during summer holidays, the kids in the neighbourhood, we would just get together and play sport from 8 in the morning through to sunset. And generally that was a fun time, but every now and then there'd be little disputes, little bickerings that go on and ending in tears, normally for me. But I found that I was able to forgive friends quite quickly, within a matter of hours, and certainly by the next morning we would all be out there. And it was, as a child, you tend not to hold on to grudges and hurts the way we do as adults. And obviously there's reasons for that. So in terms of the question, why is a soft heart important in our walk as Christians? I think Jesus gives us an insight into this here in the passage in Matthew. We see the Pharisees have gathered around him and they're trying to trap him when they ask him about the legal question of divorce. And they asked him whether it's legal for a man to divorce his wife. Jesus says that's not God's will. That's not God's intention for marriage. It's not why God instituted marriage. But the Pharisees then point him to what Moses had said, where there are circumstances when you can divorce. And Jesus' response is quite telling. He says, Moses permitted it because of the hardness of your hearts. And I think a divorce or any sort of breakdown in a friendship or a relationship is such a tragic thing to see, because you have two people who were once together, committed, loved each other, and there's a big feature of it is the hardening of hearts on both sides. And I think Jesus is pointing to us that when we're trying to, it's one thing to obey the letter of the law. Obeying the spirit of the law goes to the condition of our heart. And we see that elsewhere in his Sermon on the Mount, when we went through that as a church. I think one of the things that struck me was when Jesus was talking to us about the fulfilling the law. He didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it and to enable us to fulfill all the requirements of the law. So when we give, it's not about just the physical act of giving, it's the condition of our heart. Are we giving so that others see us? When we pray, are we praying so that God hears us, or that people around us hear us and are impressed by our words? I think it all comes back to that condition of our heart, having that purity, that and that preparedness to forgive. So I guess when we then turn to Ephesians, we're presented with a bit of a challenge, because it says we walk in an evil world. And I think it's not a difficult exercise today to think of examples of evil in the world. Right now we're living through essentially unprecedented times, where a lot of behavior that we see in people around the world can really only be described as evil. People are acting out of fear, and that's leading to selfishness, to hoarding, to not looking out for our neighbor. And we're called as Christians to be able to consider the well-being of others ahead of ourselves. But in the current climate, it's incredibly difficult to do so. And there are good reasons why we might not be able to act out at all times. Equally, I think that shows that there is a potential downside of walking through life with a soft heart. If you have a soft heart, chances are you are potentially open to being taken advantage of. If you think of the current climate, if you went out onto the street and offered to give masks away to anyone, people who approach you might not necessarily need them. They might want to take them from you and then sell them. And so if you do things out of a gentle heart, it's possible that you can get hurt. And that's certainly a risk, I think. But Ephesians offers us the key to, in our Christian walk, how do we straddle having a childlike heart but living in an evil world. And in the passage we just read, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." So wisdom is the key here. Wisdom is the gift from God that enables us to operate in an evil world, but to not become part of the world, to transcend it, to know, to have an understanding of God's will in the world today and in the people around us and in the circumstances around us, even when from a natural perspective it's so difficult, there's no other way of knowing that. So that begs the question then, how do we get wisdom? And in James chapter 1, verse 5, we read, "If we lack wisdom, we only need to ask God, and he gives generously to all without reproach." So it's something that we can pray for, and I think it's something I felt as I was reading these passages and just reflecting on everything going on around us at the moment, that wisdom is so important for us as Christians, because if we're to move in the opposite spirit, it's not a question of just being contrarian and doing opposite of everything the world's doing. That's not wisdom. We need to be walking in line with God's will for these times. And I feel the passage in James is such a wonderful thing, because it says wisdom is a gift from God and he gives it generously. All we need to do is to ask, to seek it. And God is there and prepared to bless us generously with this gift. So as I was kind of just reflecting on both passages, I just felt there's a need for us as Christians to have this childlike heart in how we operate in the world today, especially at this time. There's so many people around us have physical needs. There are the economic turmoil and everything going on is definitely creating a lot of a huge demand in a physical sense, but also people's on the spiritual side of things, people are scared. Fear is such a prevalent emotion in the city here and around the world. People are afraid and looking for answers. And I think when people see Christians acting out of wisdom but with a childlike heart, with a compassion for others and an absence of fear, because we know we have a Heavenly Father who sits on the throne, who has always sat on the throne, who is sitting on the throne today and will be on the throne tomorrow, we have an assurance in that knowledge. And that can really be, I feel, just a tremendous source of light in the world today and in the circles, in our own individual spheres of influence. So I'd just like to invite the worship team up as we move into a time of worship and prayer. As we prepare our hearts, I just felt it'd be really good to spend a few minutes to invite the Holy Spirit in, just to search us and to, for areas in our life maybe where our heart has become hardened. It could be in relationships, in interactions with family members. There's lots of reasons for disagreement at the moment, and that can create a hardness in our hearts. And I think the Holy Spirit can reveal that to us. And it's having a hard heart is something that can creep up on us. It's something that it doesn't happen necessarily instantaneously, but it's built up over time. So I just in these first couple of minutes, I just felt really led to just ask the Holy Spirit to search us to look at the condition of our heart, and also to ask for wisdom at this time for all of us, because there's no question that there's evil around us. We live in a fallen world, and that's always going to be the case. But we have this promise of wisdom in God's word. So let's just take a moment.
Righteousness. my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, you are Lord, Lord of all. Christ Savior's love, through the storm, you are Lord, Lord of all.
Just as we begin our prayer time, we have a prayer on the One app. So if you have that, you can turn to it and we can read it aloud together. Father, we pray for every unborn baby and we speak worth into them, that they are chosen, wanted and precious to you. We pray for safe deliveries. Give the doctors and nurses skill. We speak blessing over each newborn. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll now move to our community prayer. So as we lift up those battling cancer or coming through cancer treatment, let's really press in for these dear brothers and sisters who are battling at this time. And as we come before God, let's approach Him as our Heavenly Father with that childlike heart. This is our Heavenly Father. We call Him Abba Father the way Jesus did, because He loves us. He knows everything about us, and He knows exactly what our brothers and sisters need. Let's just press in. Next, we'll pray for those loved ones around us who are battling illness, but also in need of salvation. Let's believe for both physical healing and spiritual healing for our brothers and sisters in who are suffering. Thank you. We'll now pray for those in our community who are looking for work. We just want to come alongside our brothers and sisters who are going through this season where they might be feeling uncertainty, fear, and doubt. And we just want to believe with them that God will make a way at this time. So let's lift them up. And I'm sorry, I think I've missed infirmities. If we could just go back a slide, and let's lift up our friends here who are suffering and through other infirmities, and just ask for God's peace at this time for them, for comfort, for particularly just being sick at this time is scary enough, but with everything else, it's there must be a lot of fear for these people. So let's come alongside them and pray. We'll now be turning to daily prayers. Let's lift up our mission focus. So for Singapore, in Indonesia, Philippines, and the SP New York, let's lift up our church plants in those places. To our education focus for SP Kids and SP Youth and SPU, let's lift up the leaders there, P. Mary and Lisa, Donald and Pastor Andrew, as they sow into the lives of the young people of this house. Let's really lift them up. Let's lift up prayer and healing teams with IP and the Well and the River. We just ask for the Holy Spirit to be on these ministries to really impact the lives of the people that they're reaching. Let's lift up our evening outreach. At the moment, Homi's suspended, but let's continue to bless the people that they touch and ask that God would be with them at this time. Let's lift up the house churches who are meeting this evening, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood and Westville. Let's lift them up if they're able to meet in person, but if not, if for whatever reason they're doing it over Zoom or other means, let's just pray that the Holy Spirit would be present in those meetings, that our brothers and sisters will be able to meet and to build one another up. Finally, let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray over our city. Let's pray over our leaders, whether that's in the in the government, the business community, the police, the medical staff who are on the front line at the moment. Let's lift up our city and ask for God's name to be glorified at this time looking for hope is so difficult for the secular world here in Hong Kong. But we have a hope, and let's pray that God will be lifted up over our city. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, that we can come together and just submit to your will, Lord, to pray before you. I just pray a blessing over all of us, Lord, and all of our brothers and sisters in the SP community. I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of us, Lord, that you would keep us safe, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would soften our hearts, Lord. Help us to see the world, see the things around us through your eyes, Lord, from your perspective, Lord, but with your wisdom and with the guiding of your Holy Spirit. We just commit all these things to you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen.